rather abrupt change. We've been going through Genesis. We ended with the Tower of Babel, which is the universal disaster waiting for a universal remedy. And it comes in the call of Abraham, as I mentioned yesterday. But they're going to leave us there. Monday we're going to start the book of Sirach. I don't know why they do that. But anyway, they do it. Today, we have this transfiguration. It comes, this text, this event, is brought to our attention three times in the year. In the regular cycle of readings, as now in Mark, then in the second Sunday of Lent, and then on August 6th, the Feast of the Transfiguration. So, evidently the church thinks that this is a very important event in the life of the Lord. And now that he's totally transfigured in glory, we're meant to manifest that in our lives, but ponder it. The two motives that the fathers of the church saw for this event were, first, to strengthen the apostles before the Passion. That's why we have it in Lent. And the other is to strengthen all of us by looking forward to where we're going. Because this transfiguration of Jesus, which is a foreshadowing of the glory of the resurrection. And yet Paul tells us that we are going to be transformed and configured to that body of glory, our lowly bodies, our body of lowliness, will be transformed and configured to that body of Jesus. And he will do it by the power he has to subject all things to himself. So that's our hope, too. That's part of where we're going. We're praying for Dick Cummings. One day, he will be radiant and glorious. And so will we. And so, we have this presentation. Now, I'm finding fault with the way they pick the readings. But there was a good one, a good choice, to talk about faith as an introduction to this account of the Transfiguration. It's a very powerful line in here, you know. By faith, you know, without faith, it is impossible to please God. So what does God ask of us? Faith. And what is faith? It's yielding to his truth. We all know the truth. We can articulate it. Tomorrow we'll recite the whole creed. But in our life, do we yield to this dark light? Do we live by this reality? How do we cultivate it? You see, this text is necessary to understand the Transfiguration. It's not forced on anybody to know the glory of Jesus. But for those of us who wish to follow him, yield to the work of the Father in our lives. St. Thomas has a beautiful passage in which he talks about there are two lights, as it were. There's the light coming from God, and there's the light in us by which we can grasp that coming from God. But he says it's different than any other light we have. Somebody can prove to me that 2 and 2 are 4. Wouldn't be tough, but you know, they could do it. And I'd grasp it, because that's an adequate object for the light of my mind. The Word already lives in me, right? Just as a human being. He is the Word who enlightens every man coming into the world. So our very minds are a participation in the Word of God. And oh, how the great saints and doctors, Hugh of St. Victor, you know, when we speak, we gift the other with the Word of God. Beautiful. They grasp it. But now, Jesus Christ, born of Mary, a virgin, preached, finally was tortured and killed and rose again. And he is the source of eternal life. The light of my mind is not adequate to grasp that. 2 and 2 are 4. A body falls at 32 feet per second per second. But when this, in other words, this light has to be willed, embraced, yielded to. And that's why St. Thomas says in this passage, you see, it's appetible. It's desirable. But we have to will it. Faith is not automatic. It's willed. Now, I don't mean grit your teeth and grunt. I mean yield to the action of God. It's daily. It's by every second. Saints yielded. And so, you know, as the letter to the Hebrews says a little later on about Moses, he lived as though seeing the invisible. The truths of faith are much clearer than the rate of a falling body. They're much more intelligible. They're much more understandable. But we don't have the light for it. That's a gift. And faith is a way of knowing. And so they picked a good text to go with this account of the Transfiguration. That was a marvelous moment. But it didn't last. They ran away at the Passion. But today I feel that these texts are calling us to faith. Now, I've told you before about this Father Augustine Baker and what he called forced acts of the will. He didn't mean like try out for the NFL. I mean, he meant will. As you drive home, you can make acts of the will. Lord, I believe. I believe, Jesus, that you are the living Son of God. I believe that you died for me. I believe that you've given me a firm invitation to heaven. I believe that you privileged me to live in your body, the church. I live by your body and blood. You can make up your own acts of faith. And that's a very good idea. Because then when things are tough, you're in the habit of willing. And things get dark. Jesus isn't around anymore. He is. But we don't see him. We can say, look, Jesus, you can't fool me. I know you're here.